T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Danny and Dusty.
My Uncle Gus is the uncle that likes to work the grill. As soon as he walk in the house, he's like, get away from that grill. You don't know how to start no fire.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
We're going to eat a hamburger, okay? Here we go. Charlie, throw the match. Now that's a fire.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm not cooking a brontosaurus burger.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you. All right, you ready to do this, my man?
Let's do it. I mathed.
Okay.
I mathed hard.
The Portland Trail Blazers 2022-23 season schedule has been released.
Ladies and gentlemen, they will play 82 games with 41 at home and 41 on the road.
Oh, yeah. First time since 2019. My God. It's weird to say it's 2022-23. That still seems like it's the future. Am I the only person that thinks that?
It's very sports almanac-y.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's true.
I don't feel like this should be the year. But here we are.
It all blends together for me right at this point.
Did it again. All right. You have gone through and you actually even figured out the Blazers record just off the top of your head.
I play this every game or every year. I do my first schedule run through where I literally put a win loss column down and I go through each game. And the only thing I look at is opponent, road or home, and like where they are in the schedule as far as like if it's a 6-game road trip.
Yeah.
Like there, or is there, how many back to backs are there? Like, are they coming off? Is there like a rest period in here? How like that? So it's just kind of an eye test. Like what I would do coming into say in November when they're on a 6-game road trip and I'm talking about it before the game.
On paper.
I'm going to look at it and go, okay, here's where they stand right now. So regardless of what's kind of going on, it's quasi-informed as far as what it goes off of. And I got down to it and I got to 41-41.
That's not good.
It's better than, number one, it's better than 35.
ESPN had.
It is better than 40.5.
Which is why
I bet the over.
It's 40.5.
Again, I did bet the over.
Yeah, we round up.
And typically my first run through, I am more pessimistic than optimistic. Mm-hmm. If I am waffling at any time, it's a loss.
Okay.
So when I do this, that way when I look at it again, with a little bit of a brighter lens, there's usually room for improvement.
Yeah. And you obviously don't know about shutting Damian Lillard down, trading CJ McCollum,
yes,
doing things like injuries you can never indicate. And this is why, like, those Damian Lillard Herculean efforts that we see at the end of years where playoff pushes and they don't lose in the month of March, and you're like, how the hell did that happen?
And this schedule sets up for that.
It kind of does.
It really does. If you look at how this schedule is, the first 20, so we played the game during the break where I had you go through the first 22 games. And what did you end up with?
I think it was
11-11.
11-11. They were 500 basketball team.
It is a brutal stretch. And if they come out of this at 500 or better, they did well.
Okay. It is tough. So here's the nuts and bolts of it. They have 14 back-to-backs over the course of the season.
Correct.
They are spread out, you know, pretty evenly throughout the season. It's not like they have a run, because I remember, like, was it 2016 or something where they had just like a bunch slammed into like the month of December where you're like, what the heck is this?
What they have instead is they basically have a game every other day for a long period.
And it is a long time.
Basically from November till the new year. They play, they have 2 days of rest. I want to say it was
it's Christmas and Christmas Eve are the 2 days that they have off.
Yeah, so from November 4th, they play the 4th, 5th, 7th, 9th, 10th, 12th. So there's your first two-day break, and then they get a three-day break from the 12th to the 15th, and then it goes every other day again until December 8th to the 10th.
I think you're looking at the wrong month there, because I have on their schedule that I have up, they play every day, every other day almost from November 15th all the way to December 4th is where they.
Yes, I'm sorry. I said December 10th. I meant to say December 4th. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's a long slog, though, where you're playing every other day and you have a back to back in there, too.
Yes. And you also have two six-game trips and a four-game trip.
In that stretch?
Yes. So from the beginning of November, from November 4th.
Until Christmas Eve.
Until Christmas or day or 23rd, Christmas Eve Eve.
Jeez.
You have two six-game trips and a four-game trip. So you have, 16 games on the road with almost no breaks.
And of note, though, is that they only have three six-game road trips the entire season.
No five-game trips.
Okay.
Two four-game trips, two three-game trips, one two-game trip, and then seven little dips out for single road games.
Weird.
Yeah.
But that, what you just said about having two of them in the months of November and December.
They're out of the way.
That is, the schedule does set up to be, if you're going to be on the road for basically the first half of the year, you're going to be at home a lot when it comes to crunch time. And that's what you're talking about with the
setting.
This schedule does set up well for the Blazers to be at home for the most pivotal stretch of the year.
Which is typically when the Blazers have just played under the Damian Lillard era. They turn it on post All-Star break. And that's the thing, is they can't get buried early. Mm. If they get buried early, so of their first 35 games, 21 of them were on the road. They're 14 home, 21 road to start the season.
Okay.
That doesn't sound like a lot, but seven more road games is substantial. And again, you in that group, you have 2 6-game trips and a 4-game trip. And in that group, when you're looking in November and December, I went and kind of calculated likely playoff teams. So I dropped, obviously, Utah out of that. I dropped Brooklyn out of that because I think that both teams are going to end up getting blown up. And if you look at that, they play playoff opponent, likely playoff opponents in that period 16 times.
Holy smokes.
So more than half of their games.
Well, so what you're saying is a slow start and a furious finish.
Again, if they get through their first 22, 23 games at 500 or better, 22, 24 games at 500 or better, they did well.
Yeah. I was just looking at this, the months of November and December, that Road Warrior months there.
Mm-hmm.
19 of their 29 games in those 2 months are on the road.
Yep.
So, I mean, 10 home games in 2 months.
It is brutal. But the flip side is, in January, they leave Portland once in 22 days. So they are home for a very long time.
And they have 9 home games in the month of March, too.
Yes. So they make it up heavy in. So January, they have 11 home, 4 away.
Wow. Okay. Notable games that you'll want to know about. The Golden State Warriors will be in Moda Center. What is that? It looks like February 8th. And I don't see them come. And then to wrap up the season, April 9th. That kind of sucks because that's resting everybody in the last game
of
the year.
There may be some seeding stuff there. And that was to say that the last 5 games, they closed the season with 4 on the road and then the last game of the season at home against Golden State.
Well,
and it's Minnesota, Memphis, San Antonio, Clippers.
So 3 of those 4 are going to be playoff teams.
Yes. And probably vying for seeding.
Okay. So Golden State, April 9th and February 8th,
mm-hmm.
The Lakers, will come to town on February 13th And then they will be in Moda again on the 22nd of January. So have an eye out for those days when LeBron comes to town.
Yes. And then there are a couple series games. They've got the Sacramento Kings at the end of the season. They've got the Oklahoma City on Thunder on the road. They've got the Minnesota Timberwolves at home, and they've got the Phoenix Suns on the road.
And you say series, those when you play the same team back-to-back. Not even back-to-back days, but, you know, like there's a day in between the
or
Sacramento game.
Phoenix, it is actually a back-to-back. It's an opening season.
So bad.
Yeah, that opening road trip, Phoenix twice, at Miami, at Charlotte, at New Orleans, at Dallas. I could see that road trip being one or two wins.
Golly. One or two wins.
I could see it going very sideways. But the flip side of that is
a six-game road trip.
Yes. And the other side of this is does Phoenix have such terrible vibes to start the season that they're like Portland and maybe you steal some wins there? So.
All right. So the schedule came out and we just could basically think what we thought before. This is a play-in team. Right?
I mean, this my safe first run was 41-41. I picked this team if my line was 43.5, and I'm after looking at this and how it shakes out right now, I couldn't be more certain.
Oh,
wow. I think 44 is a good season for this team and the way the schedule shakes out.
Mm. All right. Well, I don't know if that's reassuring or not. It doesn't seem like a very reassuring schedule release for the Blazers.
It sets up really well for them to close. It's how they take care of things coming out of the gates.
If you're wondering about national TV games.
There are 14 national TV games.
Yeah, most of them are NBA TV, though.
Yeah,
so those will be blacked out.
They had, I believe, one TNT game.
And it'll be the Clippers on November 29th is the only TNT game that they'll have. They'll have two games on ESPN, Memphis
and
on November 2nd, and then New Orleans on March 1st. Those are the only three nationally televised games on, you know, places where it likely won't be blacked out because home games will be blacked out on NBA TV.
Yes.
Road games, you'll have at Phoenix, at the Lakers, at Golden State. Yep, that's about it. So if you don't have Root, better figure it out.
Yeah. Better, I don't want to say it out loud. Legal streaming services only.
Ah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Wow. Wink, wink, wink. Uh-huh. All right. Okay, there's a Blazers schedule.
Hit up the text line. How many wins do you think they got after taking a look at the schedule?
Ooh, 503-250-1080.
Like that?
Yeah. Send them our way.
Yep, I'm going to throw a poll up.
Okay. There is a bright spot for a downtrodden franchise. Not talking about the Blazers either. Danny Dusty on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Watch out, boy, she'll chew you up. Oh, here she comes. She's a man eater.
503-250-1080. Text after talking to the Blazers says 35 wins this year. I'm just going to enjoy my Beav success this football season because I don't want to deal with another mediocre Blazer team. I don't know if that person's looked at the Beavs football schedule, but it ain't easy.
We've talked about it here actually quite a bit over the last couple of days.
Oh, man. This Blazers schedule breakdown makes me even happier I cut root.
It's going to be tough. I'm waiting for the national guys to upload it for the rest advantage so that I can compare and kind of make another adjustment based off that, because that's actually a really, really good indicator of win-loss.
What is
during
that?
The season. So if a team comes into a game with like two days more of rest advantage over another team, it's almost guaranteed to be a win unless the team is very, very, very bad. And even then, it sides very strongly in the rest advantage.
Or if like a team is spending, a week in New York City.
Around Thanksgiving.
Which is what the Blazers will have. Like, they are going to, like, seriously, they spend it's 4 nights they'll be in.
5 days, 4 nights they'll be in New York.
They'll be in New York City.
Yeah. And they're not going to change hotels. They're going to stay at a very, very nice hotel in uptown New York. And
there's even stats that say, like, because they play Knicks, they have the 23rd, they play the Cavaliers. Mm-hmm. They'll travel that night to New York City, be in New York City on Thanksgiving day. Mm-hmm. Then the day after on the 25th, they'll play the Knicks. Then they have the off day on the 26th. Then they play the Nets on the 27th. Mm-hmm. Like, there's stats out there that if you're in New York for like more than one night and you have an off day, you're going to lose due to the hangover.
There's three cities that this happens in. New York is one of them. Mm-hmm. Miami's one of them. LA is one of them. Mm-hmm. Infamously, the Zach Collins turned 21 in New York road trip.
Yeah,
it lives up there.
Well, and if you're James Harden, Atlanta is a big one for you too. You have
Magic City, ladies and gentlemen.
You have poor performances in Atlanta, or just anywhere that has a bunch of strip clubs, like Portland.
True,
it's a great home court advantage.
But here's the thing: when they come here, they don't stay here. The players, not the strippers.
All right. Hey, bright spot for the Seattle Mariners. The downtrodden franchise just up I-5 is there in the middle of the first down in L.A. playing the Angels. It is 0-0 in the first inning there. But the Mariners do control their own destiny, Danny. They currently sit as the top wild card team with a game and a half lead in the wild card race.
And they are top the perch of woe because they have nothing in front of them.
They have the easiest schedule remaining in all of baseball. And this is actually, I mean, think of the bright spot that you could possibly have in this baseball world. They do in their final stretch of the season, their combined win percentage of their opponents is .442. They only play four teams that have currently have a winning record in Major League Baseball, which is, I don't know if you heard that. It's good.
Not too shabby.
And they only have 7 games remaining against a division leader. Okay.
7?
7 games
good
against a division leader.
Lord.
Here's the thing. They have a better record than that division leader. It's the Cleveland Guardians.
Oh my God.
The Mariners are 64-54. The Guardians are 62-55 and atop the AL Central. The Mariners and Guardians play 7 games the rest of this year. Okay. Outside of that, outside of those 7 games, the Mariners only have 8 games against a team with a winning record. And they play the White Sox 3 times, the Braves 3 times, and the Padres twice. Everybody else has a losing record.
And they're currently taking on the Angels
of Anaheim. And, like, think of this. They have 9 games against the A's, who have mailed it in. They have 7 games against the Tigers. They have 5 games against the Angels. They got, like,
Tigers are the worst team in baseball, aren't they?
It sets up really nice for them. What's
like,
that?
The Tigers, I feel like, are the worst team in baseball.
Oh, contraire, mon frère.
I know that they're not technically in win-loss because the Nationals exist, but they're just...
They're so bad. Team in the AL right now. The worst team in the American League is the A's. And they play them 9 times. 9 times.
They basically have 20 games against the absolute cellar.
And that is...
That's huge.
That's huge for them. And they also play the Royals... And the Nationals. They got the Nationals.
Oh, they got the Nats
schedule.
On the schedule? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they only have 2 against the Nats. But if you're thinking about how this season has kind of panned out for the Mariners and the way Luis Castillo, I mean, that trade cannot be working out any better for them.
He might be the best pitcher in baseball over the last 3 weeks.
Your young guys are living up to the hype.
Julio
is coming back. Like last night, watching the game last night, where they get the bases loaded with 1 out, and you have a guy in Ty France step to the plate, and you go, oh my gosh.
This is a good place to be.
It doesn't feel like you're about to stab your eyes out and say, well, all the good guys are on base finally. It felt like something good was going to happen, and what did he do? He had a 2-run single and moved Julio Rodriguez, I think, went from first to third on that, on a single to right field, and then... You have Winker step in, and he hits a sac fly, scores a run, and it's a 3-run inning. You're sitting there like, holy smokes, Mariners.
And then they...
What are we doing here?
Absolutely seal it up in the 9th for the 2nd straight night.
Yeah, that's the biggest difference is that you're sitting there and like you have hope when you're playing a baseball game, not, all right, how are they going to screw this up? You know, it used to be, all right, so... You know, Joe Schmo's lining up here. Sean Figgins is stepping to the plate, and he's going to hit into a double play. He's going to have like a little roller right to the shortstop.
4-6-3
They're going to flip it.
Pack it up.
And we're done.
But, I mean, honestly, I mean, last night, I think you saw what this team is going to be. Ironically or unironically, I don't phrase it. J.P. Crawford's kind of been up and down here or there, but with the return of J-Rod, they've pushed him back down the lineup. Even though he was 0-4 last night, the lineup starts to make a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Because you've got Julio, France, Winker, and guess what happened last night? Between them, you had 5 RBIs, 4 hits.
Hey!
So you had the top of your lineup doing what the top of the lineup thing is supposed to do. And meanwhile, hey, ladies and gentlemen, your starter got a win.
Wait, what?
Remember when the Mariners couldn't get their starting pitchers wins?
What?
Robbie Ray goes out there does his thing. And really? I think this is like, I'm going off the top of my head. I want to say this is like 9 out of the last 10, they've gotten a quality start out of their starting pitcher.
That is neat. That is neat.
Another six inning, 10 strikeout, 2 earn for Robbie Ray last night.
So here's the last little nug I'll give you on their schedule, right? They have the easiest schedule in all of baseball. Okay. They currently are atop the AL wild card. The Tampa Bay Rays are a game back. They have the 6th toughest schedule in all of baseball.
Yeah, they're playing a lot of the AL East.
The Toronto Blue Jays are right behind Tampa. They have the 10th toughest schedule. The Minnesota Twins are 15th on the toughest schedule, right in the middle of the pack. And the Baltimore Orioles, they have the 12th toughest schedule remaining.
And all, let's be honest, if we're rooting for anything, we're rooting for the Mariners get the wild card and the Orioles get the wild card.
But like you want to talk about discrepancies, right? Mm-hmm. We just mentioned they play 1 division leader the rest of the way, right? It's the Guardians. And only have 15 games against teams with like contending
viable
teams.
Records.
They play 15 games against the Braves, Padres, Guardians and White Sox combined 15 games. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just take the Tampa Bay Rays, for instance, between the Yankees and the Astros, they have 13 games. They play the Astros six times and the Yankees seven times.
Yeah.
That's the discrepancy between like how easy the Mariners schedule is compared to everybody else.
Yeah. And
it sets up really well. So,
hey, Mariners now, and Blazers, a little handshake over closing schedules very well.
I'm going to probably get a very upset text message from John Sukanik saying I jinxed them and I didn't mean to, guys. Okay. I'm sorry.
Listen, I am firmly on the Mariners will get the wild card bandwagon.
All right. Hopefully the 20-year run ends.
Literally as soon as I finish saying
21 years.
Swinging a mess on a strikeout.
Oh, man. All right. Let's check in the betting world. BetQL Network insider Ryan Horvath joins us after Rust with SportsCenter.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
Online now is the host of BetMGM Tonight, our Odyssey sports betting insider, Ryan Horvath. Insider calls brought to you by Driveway.com. Looking for a car? Go to Driveway.com where you can get pre-qualified, buy a car, get it delivered. Be sure to listen to the BetMGM podcast for more of Ryan's analysis. Just search BetMGM wherever you find your podcast. Man, how you doing? I heard it was a wild weather week last week in DC.
Oh man, so I'm getting ready to jump on the show with you guys, and I didn't even know it was supposed to rain, let alone we were supposed to have a severe thunderstorm. And you know, Tristan made this point, she's like, this is the rainiest summer that I could ever remember, and we're both pretty new to DC especially, and I live in Maryland. But driving in, man, we had a flash flood warning. There was pictures, there were videos all over Twitter. There was like 3 foot of water. I could barely make it into work. I was a couple minutes late. It was an absolute disaster. Luckily today we got sunny skies as of right now. But yeah, man, you never know what you're going to get here in DC, unfortunately.
Oh, I'm just glad you're okay. You get like swept down the flash flood. All right, let's talk some betting. Okay. We've got preseason football. We've got college football futures that are always out there and lines are coming out all over. But, I want to ask you about the FedEx Cup and the BMW Championships going on, because one of our texters and listeners, he actually sent us this little line and goes, hey, I want to get Ryan's thoughts on the PGA champ or the BMW Championship, because is it true that Justin Thomas, the only guy that's actually played this course competitively?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much, right? And so I wish I could have jumped on with you guys last week, because all week long, we were preaching Will Zalatoris on the show, and he was 22-1, plus 2,200, which, yeah, easy for me to say now. Tweeted it out, man, and it was the fourth outright, actually, that I've hit this year. I don't think this is ever going to happen again. I'm going back to Zalatoris again. But, yeah, this is tough, man. It's a tough course to handicap. You know, I've talked with a couple different people already this week. We do our big preview tonight, actually, on the show. And, I mean, I still really like Zalatoris, but it obviously goes back to Wilmington Country Club. You know, it's a par 71, over 7,500 yards. It's tough to call, but I really think that Zalatoris is live again. I just feel like, you know, there's those guys that they just need to get over the hump. And if you've been betting Willie Z the last year, man, every Sunday you're in for a wild ride. And it kind of reminds me of actually Tony Finau, who won two straight. And so he finally gets over the hump. I just feel like that's what he needed, Zalatoris. He fired his caddy. It was a crazy week. He actually fired his caddy last week in the middle of the tournament, I believe going into the Sunday. So I really like him. And then I've talked with a couple other people that actually really do like Rory. You know, I think the price right now is only like 10-1. I'd want a better number. But if you look at it, right, three of his last eight victories on tour, I believe, have actually come after he missed the cut in his previous start. He won the 2018 Arnold Palmer Invitation, but he missed the cut the week before. The 2019 Canadian Open, he missed the cut at the Memorial Tournament. And then again at the 2021 Wells Fargo, he missed the cut the week prior at the Masters. And if you look at it, you know, I think that this sets up pretty good for him, actually. Like, six of the last seven BMW championships had a winning score of, I believe, 20 under or better. So we're going to see some high scores. So for me, I'm going with Zalatoris. I don't hate the Rory pick. And then, you know, we haven't really been talking about John Rahm lately, and he's still only 14-1. I might wait to live bet him if he's around three back, four back, if he's in contention on a Saturday. I'd want an 18-1, 22-1. But I kind of like him on this course just because he's top four in this field in strokes gained on bent grass courses. I believe in strokes gained on courses longer than 7,400 yards and in no-cut events. So I feel like he might get hot this weekend as well. So those are the three guys that I would target for sure.
All right, Ryan, NBA schedule just came out, so I'm going to completely derail all the golf talk.
There we go.
Oh, yeah.
Here in Portland, obviously the line is 40.5. I play my little game of my immediate pick'em, and I originally landed at 41. I've already put my money down. I took the over on the team this season. I think they're going to end up probably around – my number is 43.5. So, and after looking at the schedule and how it kind of shook out, I'm pretty comfortable at 43, 44. What are the value plays that you see out there? Do you see Portland as one of those opportunities when they're sitting at 40.5? Do you see additional value, obviously, once the schedule first comes out, as far as – rest advantage, back-to-backs, and everything else as they kind of shake out?
Man, I'm glad to talk about this because last night, you know, the NBA Christmas Day lines actually came out. And obviously I'm a big football guy, so we're previewing college football right now. We're getting really heavy into the NFL, but these popped up on Twitter yesterday. And I was like, well, excuse me really quick, but I got to throw a couple of these bets out that I don't think we're going to get these numbers. So the team that I love again this year was the best team against the spread last year, other than the Phoenix Suns, and that was the Memphis Grizzlies. Great regular season team. They're going to be hungry this year, especially with all the trash talk that's been going on back and forth with, you know, them and the Golden State Warriors on social media. Ja Morant and pretty much everybody. Desmond Bane's going to be another year older. Ja's going to be fully healthy, we hope, going into the season, can stay fully healthy. And we're getting them as 5.5-point underdogs, 6-point underdogs on Christmas Day. I'm going to play that. I'm going to play their win total over again, just because all season long, I kind of compared them just to one of those young regular season teams that tries hard every single night. Like, go back to the year that Derrick Rose became the youngest MVP in league history. The Bulls won 60-plus games that year under Tom Thibodeau, and then they got to the playoffs, ran into the Heat, and LeBron just completely shut down Derrick. As far as the Blazers, I'm with you. That's another win total where I'm going over. I do expect a bounce-back season as long as Dame's going to be out there. And, I mean, we all expect him to be out there, right? And he's going to be fully healthy. I really like Simons. I like Jeremy Grant. I like this roster. And I don't know that they're going to win 50, 55 games. I usually do the same thing, man. And I always joke about it, like, when the NFL schedule comes out. I hate win-lossing a schedule because you don't know what's going to happen with injuries and whatnot. But I look at their schedule. I don't see anything less than 42, 43 wins.
Yep.
And usually that's what I'm looking for if I am going to play an over. So I'm with you. I think that they could be a 6-8 seed. I don't know that they're winning 55 games, but I definitely think they're going over that win total. As long as they stay fully healthy, Dame doesn't end up getting moved, which I don't expect. And, you know, they don't completely give up the second half of the season, kind of like we saw last year when I didn't know half the guys on that roster at the end of the year. I'm not going to lie to you.
Oh, it's okay. We didn't either.
Yeah, very few people here did either. So you're not alone, man. You're not alone. Is there an approach that you have when you're looking, though, as schedules come out to extended road trips and just start eyeing those single game lines that will come out that you want to jump on? Like, I mean, we were talking about this, like in the Blazers schedule, they have 4 days in New York City, one of them being Thanksgiving Day, to play the Knicks and the Nets. It's a long time to be in New York City. What are some of the things that you look at scheduling wise that will really get you to jump one way or another on a bet?
Yeah, absolutely. And especially in the NBA, I like young teams. I like fading young teams on the West Coast, especially, you know, if it's a team from the East Coast and they're going out to Los Angeles for a couple days on a road trip. So certain things like that, obviously, you know, back-to-back, who's going to be playing in those back-to-backs. Like, I'll probably be fading the Brooklyn Nets on every single back-to-back if Kyrie's on that roster because he only wants to play 60 games and he doesn't want to play back-to-back. You know what's funny is when I was growing up, my dad was trying to explain to me why he would always fade the Chicago Bulls. And we grew up in Chicago, you know, and so when I really fell in love with basketball, it was the 95-96 season when they went 72-10. So they didn't really lose a whole lot. But I remember they'd go to Miami, and my dad would go on the money line with the Miami Heat, and it would be like plus 300 because, again, they had like five losses. And he told me a story that anytime that they'd go to Miami, they would all hang out all night long pretty much at Dan Marley's bar. And then we found like certain opportunities I would notice that he would bet against them when Rodman would go to Las Vegas. So usually that's what I look for. That's usually what I look for, man. I honestly is like, you look for those teams that are going to Miami, they're going to Los Angeles, the party cities, they're going to be out all night. I'll never forget when I was covering the Bucks in Milwaukee. It was 3 a.m. I look over to my left. This is a true story. Philadelphia was in town, and I see sitting right next to me was Joel Embiid. So I texted my buddy, and I was like, oh, we got to take the Bucks tomorrow. It's an early game. You know Giannis is going to dominate. And Embiid's at the poker table. I mean, he wasn't drinking or anything, but it was, you know, it was 4 a.m., I think, before we got out of there. So those are the things that I look at. But definitely the road trips, the long road trips. In Chicago, we used to call those the circus trips because the circus would come to town. So the Bulls would be on the road for 2 weeks, and they would always struggle, you know, no matter how good they were. So that's the other thing I look at, extended road trips. I usually like the fade teams.
Love it. All right, one more for you. You bet preseason, and this is the weird time, and I love the fact that we get joint practices, but do you pick anything up based off of joint practices leading into, you know, that preseason game? You have New England and Carolina today. They were joint practice up. They play preseason week two. You have New Orleans, Green Bay doing the same. Is there anything you grab from those joint practices or that you look for to help you kind of maybe get an eye on where you're going to lean?
So it's interesting that you went to that we're talking about the Saints and the Packers, because the Saints are the team that I'm actually the highest on in the NFC. Now, I don't know if they're going to win the Super Bowl. I don't know that they're even going to the divisional round, but their win total opened up at 8.5 wins. And I know Sean Payton's retired, and I know Drew Brees left 2 years ago, but they were 5-2 with Jameis last year. He had 14 touchdown passes, I believe, to 3 interceptions, was playing really good football, and then he got injured and everything kind of fell apart. Now, what I've been paying attention to is all the beat reporters, because not only did I play the Saints over 8.5, but I took a stab at them to win the division when the Buccaneers came down with all those injuries on the offensive line and Tom Brady decided to take an extended vacation the next 3 weeks. So I played the Saints because they were plus 280 to win that division. You know, the win total I thought was too low. And I'm also going to take them on the money line this week against Green Bay. A lot of people are making excuses for Jordan Love, and if two of those interceptions were not his fault for Green Bay, but that third one, he threw the ball into the middle of the field. He should have threw it away. He doesn't look good, you guys. Rodgers is not playing. No. They don't want to risk losing any of these wide receivers because they don't have any anymore without Devontae. Mm-hmm. I'm going to bet the Saints in the preseason, and I really like that team. And I've been paying attention because it looks like Jarvis Landry looks really good. Today there was a fight at the end of practice, but they're saying Mike Thomas right now. He was even burning Eric Stokes and Jair Alexander. I think those are two of the better corners in the league. So I'm going to bet the Saints in the preseason. Love their win total over this year.
Ryan Horvath, he is our BetQL Network insider. Check him out on BetMGM tonight. Thanks a lot, man. Really appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks, guys. Have a great day.
All right, that was our BetMGM Tonight and Odyssey sports betting insider, Ryan Horvath. Insider calls brought to you by Driveway.com. You head to Driveway.com today to shop more than 25,000 new and used cars in Driveway's nationwide inventory. The worst day on the web. Next on The Fan.
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
All right, it's time for the worst day on the web. And, you know, sometimes it is more skewed to our local events and the things going on in our neck of the woods. Have you been following along with what is being said at the University of California Regents meeting that they're having down in Cali?
Yeah, I've noticed a few things pop out of it that haven't been great.
Well, I've just been following along. The University of California Board of Regents is they're talking about the UCLA move to the Big Ten, right? And
because it's a California school, that
it is a university. Is. Yeah, it's not a state. It's a university system school. Not great news for the Pac-12. Now, it should be noted that Stuart Mandel cleared this up because it was very much newsworthy when he tweeted it out. But they're giving a report about what the move from for SC and UCLA means for the rest of the universities, Cal, and the conference. And as part of their presentation, they said that USC, this says this report estimates that USC represented 30% of the Pac-12's media rights. New TV deal was estimated at $500 million a year. So USC's departure has dropped it to an estimated of $350 million a year, a loss of $10 million per year for UCLA and Cal. That would be bad. That would be very bad for the conference, right? It turns out that Stuart Mandel from The Athletic, noted great college football reporter. When he tweets something like that, people are going to be like, whoa, okay. And when it comes from this Board of Regents meeting, you're thinking this is something that UCLA actually had and they found out. No, that is actually from a John Wilner of San Jose Mercury News estimate that he just was like, this is what the estimates are. It's not from like the inside source as what became a determining factor for UCLA. But it caused a lot of panic, including me. I was like, this is not good for the Pac-12 to have as public
their numbers
knowledge
out there. Yeah.
And when you're trying to negotiate a new TV deal, because behind closed doors, you can say one thing or the other. But if you're like, oh, yeah, by the way, the university crunched the numbers and this is what they found. That's horrible if you're the Pac-12.
I'm gonna put on my non-Pac-12 hat, put on my USC hat right now when it's all said and done. I wouldn't be surprised if the numbers are that high for USC. I was a little blown away by UCLA's being that high.
I have not seen what the UCLA, it says
UCLA
that
was 10%.
10%?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that. Yeah. All I saw is that they would lose $10 million per year with USC leaving. That would make sense though, you're slicing the pie.
Well, Mandel said that earlier in the hearing, they said USC's estimated Pac-12 value was 30%. They now say UCLA's was 10%.
Oh,
so they're saying those two teams combined for 40% of the Pac-12 deal value.
Yeah, that is a little bit surprising.
That feels a little bit high on the UCLA. Honestly,
nobody goes to their games or really watches.
Yeah, that was kind of my thought process. Wait. I was like, eh.
Who said that?
Mandel, 27 minutes ago.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I don't buy that. I don't really buy that one.
That one seems a little high. Like USC being 25 to 30%, I don't think that's that hard of a sell.
Mm. But here is one of the slides that they showed is that what this is doing, and this is one of the
this is insane
ricochets of all of it. They gave a estimate, an example of what their women's soccer for UCLA's travel is going to be like. And they compared the Pac-12 to what the Big Ten is going to be. And so they give the example of UCLA women's soccer to go and take a trip to Oregon schools, Oregon and Oregon State, Thursday to Sunday trip, a 2-hour flight to Eugene, a 1-hour bus ride between Eugene and Corvallis on, like, say, the, you know, Saturday. And then 1-hour drive back to Eugene and a 2-hour return flight. Okay. A trip to Michigan. Thursday to Sunday trip from Michigan, Michigan State. A 4.5-hour trip flight to Detroit. A 30-minute drive to Ann Arbor. A 1-hour drive to East Lansing. A 1.5-hour drive to Detroit. A 4.5-hour return flight and a 3-hour time difference.
That's a whole day's worth of travel.
Stanford, 1.5-hour flight. 30 minutes to campus, stay over with a 1.5-hour return flight. That is a Friday to Saturday trip. Ohio State for a Friday to Saturday trip, 4.5-hour flight, 3-hour time difference.
You're talking about a whole day. You're talking about an 8-hour difference when it's all said and done.
Yeah, and it says that, okay, so you want to do the Colorado and Utah trip, which is one of their longer ones. It is a 2.5-hour flight, a 45-minute drive to Boulder, a 1.5-hour flight to Salt Lake City with a 2-hour return flight. It is a 1-hour time difference. You go to Indiana and Purdue, it's a 4-hour flight, a 1-hour drive, 2-hour drive to Purdue, 1-hour drive back to Indianapolis, a 4-hour return flight with a 3-hour time difference. This is going to be the big issue. Yeah. Like when you put it out there and you think of all of the travel, all of how long it takes. One thing that, I mean,
they're going to have to go a day early.
One thing that this says, and it, I mean, this is actually a really good thing for the Pac-12, is that, like, at least you can fly to almost every Pac-12 city and have
in under 2 hours.
The longest is a 1 hour drive to get to Corvallis from Eugene. I mean, that bodes well for every, like, the longest one, you're going to go Spokane to Pullman, you know, and you have to fly into Spokane and then drive to Pullman.
Yeah.
Everywhere else, you can fly almost right into direct. The city. Yeah. That's crazy to think about how much travel every other sport is going to have to do. You don't worry about it with football and basketball because they charter. Every other sport, well, men's basketball. Football and men's basketball usually charter. Everybody else.
And women at UConn.
You are going to be flying commercial, and you're going to be driving everywhere. And
you're going to have to go a day early. I'm not joking.
That doesn't even take into consideration how many flights are delayed or canceled. Yes. Because Indianapolis to, you know, LA, that flight will get canceled at some point.
Yeah. It's
yikes.
There's a lot coming out of this meeting, and it's I honestly don't think it's great for anybody.
No, it's both for bad sides when you look at when you think of the travel and all that.
The money side on the Pac-12 side, the travel side on the Big Ten side of this for the new Pac-12 teams or the new California teams. It's just It's too bad that things can't figure themselves out,
right?
Because this is going to be a lot.
Do you see the Ross Dellinger tweet that came up a little while ago?
No, I missed it.
Yeah, Dellinger tweeted out some sort of graph from the New York Times that had the biggest fan bases in all of college football that draw the most attention and eyes. And there were only two Pac-12 schools on it.
Yeesh.
And Oregon was, I believe, fifth or sixth, and I think USC was seventh or eighth on that list.
So Oregon, but that was the seventh,
only one.
SC is 10th.
Seven and 10?
Yeah.
Yeah. And outside of that, nothing from the conference. And now here's the problem with where the Pac-12 is at. You only have one. In the Big Ten, that entire graph is a ton of Big Ten schools.
Well, I mean, number one is Ohio State. Notre Dame is number two. Texas 3, Penn State 4, Michigan 5. So you have what could end up being 4 of 5.
Man.
If Notre Dame does opt to go. And then Wisconsin is sandwiched between Alabama and SC, and that wraps out your Big Ten.
Whoa.
But it's kind of crazy when you talk about SEC. Yeah. But the numbers are on the Big Ten side.
Big Ten.
Which is why the Big Ten value is more.
Mm-hmm. It's
numbers. It's a numbers game.
Gigantic, gigantic share. All right. Buy the Chargers future next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.